Well, Justin, Sonia, Eric, Beatrice, Stephen, and Jill, I want to tell you that as I was listening to your sponsors introduce you, I recall the times that Gary and George and I spent praying for openings. Who's the person to come? And what a neat experience it is to, if you don't saying, kind of birthing you, bringing you to this point. And I want you to know that it's an honor, the privilege of being able to say a few words. And we've had a couple ordinations where they were a lot of few words. Very sensitive to that. A few words to guide you in the next step of the call of your ministry, as I too recognize what your sponsors have stated, and now Steve, know that you are ready and need to be laid hands upon so that your ministry will grow and expand. So thank you for the privilege, but now I do have words I want to share. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the privilege it is for Jenny and I to be back here at home with all these wonderful people, and especially to be a part of this ordination service. And Lord, I pray that you would take the thoughts you gave me that you have especially for these candidates, and you would make it succinct, Lord, and organized and presented as Jesus would say it, so that when it's done, we will be changed because we have heard you speak. Use me, Lord, that this day will be more special for them. And thank you for hearing this prayer, because we pray in Jesus' name. I don't know how many of you saw this Newsweek. This is April 2009. And the cover says, "The Decline and the Fall of Christian America." You aware of that? April 2009. And inside in the article that's found starting on page 34, notice one little paragraph. It states this. It says, there it was, an old term with new energy or urgency. Post-Christian. This is not to say that the Christian God is dead, but that he is less of a force in American politics and culture than at any other time in recent memory. To the surprise of liberals who feared the advent of the evangelical theocracy, and to the dismay of the religious conservatives who longed to see their faith more fully expressed in public life, Christians are now making a declining percentage of the American population. I want to tell you what this has to do with your ordination and how this all fits into the short talk that I have. If you would take your little brochure and turn to the very back, I want you to notice the charge that's on the back. This is from Timothy. Of course, you all recognize it. Every time there's an ordination, we especially use it. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Isn't that incredible? And I want to ask the question today, why did Paul say this to Timothy? Why did he say that? Now you could say to me, well, Pastor, I happen to know, or you say, Peter, I happen to know, that this was Paul's last letter before he died. This is his last epistle he wrote. And Timothy was like a son to him, so he wanted to say these words. And I'd say, okay, that's pretty good. But I don't think that's the main reason he said it. And you could say to me, well, you know, he was always training young men and making sure that they were in line and that they would be ready to be, to do their job better. And I thought, okay, that's good, but that's the real reason Paul said this. In fact, let me tell you something here. I brought my Amplified Bible. I don't know if you've ever read this. This is the one I'm currently reading through. I want to read verse 2 from the Amplified Bible. Listen to this. Herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcomed or unwelcomed, you as preachers of the word are to show the people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuke them, and correct them, and warn them, and urge them, and encourage them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and in teaching. Isn't that amazing? This is the Amplified Bible. That's how these translators saw the meaning of what Paul wrote to this young minister just prior to his death. And it's obvious from 2 Timothy that Paul knew his end was imminent. Why did he say this? See, the charge is verse 1, 2, and 5. And notice that between 2 and 5, 3 and 4 are missing. Here's why. Paul wrote this to Timothy. Here's why God said, share this thought with these young men. For the time is coming, Paul wrote to Timothy, when people will not tolerate, parentheses, endure sound and wholesome instruction. But having itching ears for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking to foster the errors they hold. That is verse 3. And I suddenly realized it wasn't necessarily because Paul felt his death was imminent. It's because he clearly saw the future. And he said, the time is coming when your people will not endure, as the King James says, sound doctrine. Instead, they are going to be misled by much of the philosophy that's pervading society, and there will be incredible pressure upon you to conform to the latest cultures, even from your own church members who have recently read a book in which it just laid out ABC. And if you do these things, you're going to have a mega church. And I want you to know that isn't what Paul wrote. In fact, I want you to know something else. The title of my sermon is not "The Time Is Coming." The title of my sermon is "The Time Is Now." Amen. It's already happening. And it's up to you six to stay firm in the teachings of this church and in the mission and the mission that it has. Because our people are dying out there for the true wisdom that comes only from the Bible. And I'm just so thankful for the sermon this morning when Sean beautifully spoke these words that I never heard it worded this way, as simple as it is. God did not make a mistake on His message. And we are being told that if we just change our message or our approach, or if we wouldn't mention this or we wouldn't do that, Pastor, we'll offend the visitors who are coming here. And what a sad day it is that the Adventist church will begin going the same route of the Christian churches around us. Why is there a decline and fall in Christian America? Because they have sold out to God's law. They have sold out to sin. Oh, don't talk about sin, Pastor. You'll offend somebody. We could get more people in here if you wouldn't speak so pointedly. And what did Paul say to Timothy? Paul said, for the time will come when the people will not tolerate or endure sound, wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, choosing chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster error they hold. And the Bible clearly says, truth will set you free. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The three angels' messages are the only messages that will prepare a people to be ready for God. And you can't afford to allow any pressures to conform to the societal thinking, philosophies, and to church members who are very influential. I mean, when the number one tithe payer in the conference comes to you and says, Pastor, I want you to stop doing this. Don't think you're not going to. My Bible clearly states, for the sake of his soul, you can't afford to be intimidated by it. Now, let me share something to balance this. I got to balance this right now. Number one, Prophets and Kings 6:74. I read this because if you will now go home and read Ezra and Nehemiah in your Bible, and if you will read it in the spirit of prophecy, you'll discover that experience that Ezra and Nehemiah faced is exactly what we're dealing with now. And it shows how they dealt with it and how they succeeded and how if we deal in the same way, we'll succeed. Number one, the work of reform to be carried forward today, there is a need of men who will not palliate or excuse sin nor shrink from vindicating the honor of God. By the way, I looked up that word palliate. I could hardly pronounce it. That means to lessen sin. To try to, it's okay. In fact, wasn't Ellen White called on the carpet by Jesus for toning down sin? Do you remember that story? I hope you read that. She was called to heaven. She said, did she say he wouldn't look at me or I couldn't look at him? When I give you a rebuke, you give it straight to the people. That's the only way they're going to be saved. Ellen White learned a lesson. She wrote it, and it's speaking to us now. We cannot afford to lessen the sins of our people for fear that their souls will be lost, and in the process, we could mess ourselves up. But let's balance this thing. Number two, how much anguish of soul this needed severity cost the faithful worker Nehemiah? Only the judgment alone. In other words, the pain that he went through by being firm to his church members. Only the judgment will reveal the agony he went through. Listen to this. There was a constant struggle with opposing elements, and only by fasting, humiliation, and prayer was advancement made. You got a problem? Fast and pray. Find those allies in your church that you know are confidential and kneel them down with you. Daniel went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, we need to have a prayer group right now. And number three and the final one, and this one I just love. Listen to this. That's Patriarchs and Prophets 6:74. Now Patriarchs and Prophets 6:74. Again. They will remember, these reformers, that God is no respecter of persons, and that severity to a few may prove mercy to many. I had never read that before. I've read it before and never caught it. Did you hear that? Severity to a few may be mercy to many. But they will remember also that in the one who rebukes evil, the Spirit of Christ should ever be revealed. You see? As reformers, we are called to be faithful and firm, but we are also to fast and humble ourselves and pray. And when we deal with these different ideas, even from the inside, we are to do it as Jesus did it in His life and ministry. And if we take these words to heart, we will see successes where we only saw failure or fear. And though, yes, if you read the rest of 1st, 2nd Timothy 4, 1 through 10, you will read that he suffered greatly for his firm stand. But when he was done, he said, I finished. I'm ready. And my people are. And that's the most important thing, that our people would be ready, even if getting them there causes us much pain.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2009, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.